Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight on Monday on a different platform. A lot has happened since we last spoke. 2020 off to a very interesting start. Not exactly surprising, but here we are. So tonight, of course, we are on DLive. We are at DLive.tv/Nick J. Fuentes. Be sure to follow right now if you're not already. Make an account, follow this channel, because we're going to be here for a little while. We might as well just dive right into it. You know, it's a little bit different than normal shows. Typically, we're going to dive into the news and things like that, but obviously, we have a change of scenery this evening. So, the first thing we're going to talk about on the show, and this will probably be, I don't know if this will be the main thing we'll talk about, but I will just sort of clarify everything that has transpired on YouTube and what the program is going to be going forward. And then we're going to do a show. We're going to talk tonight about the Drag Queen Story Hour protest in Australia this weekend and the tragedy that ensued. And we'll also be talking about the Oscars. Joker's back in the news again. So we are going to talk about some real news tonight. But before we get into any of that, before we even elaborate on any of the news, we have to talk about what has transpired this weekend. If you're here, if you're on DLive watching America First, then you know we got kicked off YouTube. It's temporary for now. So I might as well just go over the story. So about a week and a half ago, I got a strike on YouTube. You get three strikes on YouTube, but really, actually, it's like four because you get a warning, and then you get three strikes. And so I don't think I told anybody this, but on New Year's Eve, YouTube flagged two of my videos. They flagged the video, one of my shows that took place after the Donald Trump Jr. protest at UCLA. If you remember, that was one of our biggest shows ever. That was my first video to surpass 100,000 views. It was at 109,000, I think, at the time it got deleted. But that video after the Don Jr. UCLA event, that got flagged, as well as on the same day, a video that I had deleted. So not too long ago, I went through, and not only did I private every video I've made, with the exception of, I think, the last 30 videos or so, but I went through and I deleted every single one, except for what's on my channel right now. So they flagged not only the Don Jr. UCLA video, but also a video that I had deleted like 3 or 4 weeks ago. They flagged them both on the same day. And the message I got from YouTube was basically that because the two flagged videos were flagged and deleted within such a close proximity in terms of time, that they were counting that as one infraction. The two videos getting flagged were packaged as one infraction. And so I got a warning. A warning does not carry any penalty, but it puts my channel in like poor standing. This weekend, on Friday, I got my first strike. So that was a warning. That was on New Year's Eve. On Friday, I got a strike, and the strike was for a video, another video that I deleted. It was a video, I forget the exact number, but I think I made it sometime in November, October. It was about how Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar had their Israel trip canceled by the Israeli government. All three videos, by the way, were flagged for hate speech, basically. I submitted an appeal for the Don Jr. one, but the other two I can't actually submit an appeal for because they were both deleted. So I went through over the weekend and I tried to make an appeal for the two videos that got flagged. The first one that was part of the warning, and then the one that was flagged on Friday that got me the first strike. And I can't appeal those because if it's deleted content, then they can't review it. I didn't know that. So now there's something like 450 videos that they can flag for hate speech and give my channel strikes, but they cannot receive an appeal for them because they can't review them because the content's deleted. I didn't know that. So in a way, I might have made my situation worse by deleting all the videos, you know? So at this point, I've basically come to terms with the fact that if I got two videos flagged on New Year's Eve, I got another video flagged on Friday. They're flagging videos that I've deleted, not just privated, not just unlisted, but deleted. If I got three videos flagged in rapid succession like that in 2 weeks, and that's, you know, because of the new community guidelines policy that went into place in December, then I imagine that strikes two and three are not far behind, right? So the situation right now is that because I got strike number one, that means that I cannot upload, post, or stream on YouTube for a week. So that penalty will expire on Friday, which means that we'll be doing America First on this channel until Friday at the minimum. What I'm thinking is, in the medium term, the short to medium term, is that I will simply multi-stream the show. So for this week, the show will be exclusively on DLive. Now, if I don't get any other strikes on my YouTube channel, if they don't flag any other videos between now and Friday, then on Friday, the penalty will be lifted, and on Monday, I will stream the show on YouTube, and I will also stream it on DLive. I will stream it on both at the same time. But obviously, for this week, I have to exclusively stream it here because I'm banned for this week on YouTube. If I get a second strike, I think the penalty is 2 weeks, no streaming. And then the third strike means I'm done. The third strike means my channel is deleted. That was development number one, okay? That's only for starters. That's to begin with. That's the appetizer, is strike number one, you know, a warning and a strike, three videos flagged, and we have to see what happens with further strikes. Two means 2 weeks, and the third strike means the channel is deleted. I am banned from YouTube. That is what we have to look forward to. But on top of that, later on Friday, I got another email from YouTube which says that I'm demonetized. They said that their team of specialists, which I'm sure you can imagine who the specialists are. I wonder which organizations are a part of the Trusted Flagger program that could have possibly conducted this review. You know, perhaps the ADL, the SPLC. They're specialists. I'm sure people like Jared Holt and Christopher Mathias and, you know, whatever, Will Sommers, they sent me this message. Their specialists reviewed my channel and they found that my content is not suitable for monetization, which is absurd because I don't run advertisements on my show, you know? So they say that, well, this might be offensive for advertisers. Well, I don't know how that makes sense. I don't run ads on my shows, but they have stripped my channel of monetization. Monetization means money. So the super chats are done. No more super chats. The super chats are banned off of my channel. So that means that when I come back on Monday, or if I come back on Monday, I should say, if I return to YouTube on Monday, you know, barring another strike on my channel, I still won't be able to have super chats. I have to wait 30 days. And after 30 days, I can reapply to become a YouTube partner, which means that monetization will be re-enabled. So at this point in time, no streaming, no uploads, no posting. That expires on Friday, you know, barring another strike coming down. And then once I return, it's no monetization. I have to wait 30 days until next month to then reapply. And the strike against my channel right now, I cannot appeal, and it does not expire until April. So all of this is to say, the writing is on the wall for the show. I've been saying this for years. We have had scares like this for years. I have been telling you, we don't know how much longer we have together. You know, I thought it might have been it last summer when all that demonetization stuff happened initially with, who was it, Carlos Maza and Steven Crowder. There have been a number of community guidelines changes. There have been a number of purges. You know, people thought that the December 7th guidelines going into effect would have had everybody purged overnight. Everybody thought that if the guidelines change on December 7th, then that means that everybody's banned by the morning on December 8th. Well, it didn't work out like that, but it seems that it's finally happened. You know, my imagination, my prediction is that because this strike doesn't expire until April, if I've already got three videos flagged in 2 weeks, then that means that I would have to have no videos flagged for 3 months to wait for that first strike to expire, and then my channel's in good standing. And even in the meantime, I don't have monetization. To me, it's pretty clear that strikes two and three are not far behind, which means our time on YouTube is extremely limited. I would say that April by the latest, but probably February by the soonest, could happen tomorrow. My channel's going to be terminated. And so we are officially in like phase two of the show. You know, clearly we have some options. We're streaming this on DLive. This is a temporary solution, by the way. I'll have more on that next week, more on what I mean by that next week. But for now, this is a temporary solution. We knew this was going to happen. I will take the time now to shamelessly plug. Remember, if the show gets banned on YouTube permanently, the only way you're going to find out what the long-term solution for this problem is if you sign up for the email list. And I know I've been shilling this. I know it's like lame. I hate shilling it. I hate shilling. I never shill. You know, even when it comes to like super chats, I've never asked my viewers for money. I never ask you to do anything because I think it's dumb to ask people to do things. I do my show. I say what I think is funny, and if you like it, then you will watch it. But if we want to continue doing the show, you just have to do this one small task. I hate asking. I know it's a big ask. Most of you are freeloaders. A lot of you are cool, but a lot of you are freeloaders. You got to go to NicholasJFuentes.com, put your email in. I'm not a email merchant, okay? A lot of people use email lists to make money. You know, they get a huge email list and then they like sell it for lots of money and then you get spammed. I don't do that. I've literally used the email list one time, like last summer to announce, 2 summers ago to announce America First Premium, okay? It was like June 2018, first and only time I used the email list. So do that because when I get banned on YouTube imminently, shortly, I will be sending out information. I'll give you the whole plan, basically. Not the full, like, plan. I mean, there's like a big, like, 1,000-year plan and like Jedi-style prophecy, 1,000-year plan. But I mean, the plan for the show, you'll receive all the details about where to find the show, what's going to happen after I get banned from YouTube, only if you sign up for the email list. So do that now. So that's YouTube. That's everything that has transpired, and that's where you can find the show for the next 2 weeks. It's very short term. I'll be here for this week exclusively, and then next week the plan is hopefully YouTube and DLive, and I will be doing YouTube until I get banned, but I'll also be doing DLive at the same time, and possibly a third thing, possibly, you know, time permitting. We'll see what happens with that. More information on that next week. With that out of the way, I want to just give you a little update on like how DLive works. You know, a lot of people who watch my show only watch it on YouTube. If you're new to DLive, you probably don't know how it works. It's pretty straightforward and simple. I mean, if you're watching this right now on DLive, it's very much like YouTube in the sense that you've got your player, you've got your live chat. The only thing that is slightly different is the super chats. On YouTube, you have super chats. On DLive, you have lemons. So lemons are currency, basically. You buy lemons for money. You will buy, you know, so many lemons for, you know, $5, $10, whatever, and then you can donate the lemons to a streamer. So it's sort of like a different process than YouTube. From what I understand with YouTube, you click the super chat button, you put in the amount you want to donate, and then you donate directly. On DLive, you have to buy the lemons first. You convert your dollars into lemons. One lemon is, I think, 1.2 cents. An ice cream is 12 cents, diamond is $1.20, a Ninjagini I think is $12, and then a Ninjet is like 110 or 120. That's basically how it breaks down. The way I think of it is a penny, a dime, a dollar, $10, $100, going from lemon, ice cream, diamond, Ninjagini, Ninjet. These are very silly names, but that's how it works. You buy the lemons, and then you take the lemons, you give them to the streamer. You can attach a message. And what I will try to do on DLive is take the messages on the lemons and read those off as super chats. It's a little tricky because on YouTube, they accumulate and I can read all of them. You know, it'll have a feed on YouTube where it shows every super chat throughout the stream. On DLive, it doesn't do that. So I will have to basically take them live. So when it's like, whenever I finish talking about the news and I say, okay, we're going to read off Ninjaginis or whatever, then that is when you have to send them so I can read them as they come in. It's different. On YouTube, they can accumulate. On DLive, I have to read them sort of as they come in. You know, I'm reading them and you have to be donating them. That's a very temporary fix. I'll have to figure something out. Very short notice, you know, like 48 hours that I've had to figure out because I thought they accumulated on DLive, but they don't. So we'll try to make that work. We'll make the best of it. We're figuring it out, right? We'll be on DLive for the foreseeable future, you know, for this week at least, and then maybe a little bit after that. So that's lemons. The other thing is the X tag. If you go to DLive on the homepage, you're not going to find the show because I have to X tag it. X tagging it means like X rating it. Because I have a political show that has controversial views, it's required of me that I put on an X tag, which is basically just like viewer discretion. So if you want to see me on the homepage of the website, you have to go into your settings and click off and say you want to see X-rated content. And X-rated, by the way, does not mean like explicit, like porn. It just means like, like viewer discretion. It just means that it's not for like a general public audience. That's in the community guidelines. So that, I think, is everything. I think that's everything with YouTube and then DLive and then what's happening in the meantime. I know I do apologize it has to be this way, but that's the way it goes. You know, this is the stupid, silly game that we have to play because of the political views that we hold. I know this is not groundbreaking, studio-shaking takes here, but we know that if you go against the approved talking points, if you have a style that goes against what is acceptable, then you like can't have a bank account and I can't talk to you and like I can't order Ubers, or I haven't gotten banned from Uber, but that does happen to people. So these are the silly games that we have to play. You have to chase me all over the internet. The good news is a long-term solution is coming. It's been in the works for a long time and it seems like it'll be ready just in time. It seems like, you know, trust the plan, trust the big man's plan. I will say about this whole affair, you know, we've been expecting this for a long time. I've been expecting to be banned off of YouTube for as long as I've been doing this show. It's, January 13th? So we're coming up on 3 years of doing this show. I started doing the show February 2017, so it's been nearly 3 years. And frankly, I thought I was going to be banned, like, in 2017. Like, before the show even started, I assumed our time on YouTube was extremely limited. So I have to say, you know, a lot of people have been disappointed or upset that I got banned on YouTube, but I will tell you that it's really not a shock to me. It's really not that disappointing. It's not that jarring because I've been anticipating this for a long time. And honestly, I thought I was going to get banned a long time before now. My prediction was that I was going to be banned like last summer. I had been making preparations to be banned. The sort of hypothetical date I had in mind was like June 1st, 2019. So I was surprised that I had made it as long as I did. 3 years, 500 episodes. All things considered, I think I had a really good run on YouTube. And beyond that, I think it's very serendipitous the timing that I got banned. We should all consider ourselves lucky. Because when you think about it, if I had gotten banned last summer, when everybody else got banned, right? When that whole purge happened, James Alsup, the Steven Crowder thing, whatever. If I had gotten banned all the way back then, Groiper Wars would have never have even happened. If I had gotten banned in October or November, Groiper Wars would have been cut short. So all things considered, the Groiper Wars was like the breakout moment of America First, of American nationalism, this fledgling movement. I don't want to say fledgling, it's like burgeoning. Not fledgling, burgeoning. It's growing, it is bursting at the seams, overflowing with support. It is after all of that, you know, built up and then transpired and then was completed. I mean, we really saw that whole thing not only rise over the course of several years, but, you know, then we saw it happen and we saw it through to the end, saw it through all the way to December 18th when we had the Groiper Leadership Summit. You know, to me, we should count ourselves extremely lucky. It is almost providential, the coincidence there, that just as the Groiper Wars was completed, the epilogue, closing the chapter, that is the time when I got banned for videos that had been deleted, right? Videos that were old. The videos that got flagged were made during and before Groiper Wars. So we got very, very lucky, worked out that it did. And I hope that my optimism, I hope that my attitude about all this reassures you. As I'll tell you something, you know, these are just kind of my takes. This is like my industry. This is like my field. I know it's like cringe to say that, you know, a lot of people probably watch this show on their commute or whatever, but it's like my job. You know, it's like my industry in the same way that wage slaves have to commute every day to like, I don't even know, sell insurance, sell trinkets, widgets, you know, whatever. I don't even know what you do for 8 hours a day. Seems like a lot of hours every day, 5 days a week. In the same way that you do that, I do this. I do content. And I have to tell you that I am, on the one hand, blackpilled, that we have no future on social media. On the one hand, I am very pessimistic about this specific aspect of it, that YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the major platforms are going to become completely inhospitable in the very near future. And you might say, well, they're already inhospitable. I mean, nobody will be left. I mean, no man left standing. Everybody will be like extermination level event. And I think that'll happen before the election. You've seen it. Since the election, there has been, and even before that, but it really kicked into high gear during the, or rather after the election, there has been a very deliberate and willful attempt to eliminate everybody from this dissident right space, to basically deforest the entire right-wing ecosystem. We remember right after the election, what did they say at Google headquarters? And I think they said it at Facebook. They said, we need to make sure this will never happen again. And not to tie our fates totally alongside with Trump's, but I think that's where the agenda comes from. There's been a concerted, like, plan, like an agenda executed deliberately by design over the course of the last 3 to 4 years to get rid of everybody before 2020, you know, coinciding with elections. And so on the one hand, I'm pessimistic about our fate on the big platforms. I am optimistic, big picture though, because I will tell you that this did start like probably 2015. I would say that the modern iteration of social media censorship really kicked off in 2015. A few high profile bannings like Andrew Anglin, Pax Dickinson, Miley Yiannopoulos, Chuck Johnson, Daily Stormer. You know, it was 2015 to 2017. That was really when all of this began. I would say that's when the alarm bell started to go off. You know, that is when the extinction began, so to speak. But I'll tell you that back then, 2015, there were no alternatives. If you got kicked off, it's over. It was basically over. There is no life after Twitter. There's no life after YouTube. In 2015, it was game over. If you get banned on those platforms, you might as well just retire. You might as well just, go back to school or, you know, be a janitor or whatever. But now that is not the case. Now you can see that there are alternatives. There aren't a lot of great alternatives, but there are alternatives. We have built up alternatives on other platforms where even if we're constantly being chased, it seems like we're in this transitional state where at the very least we have survival. The new frontier for the 2020s is going to be surviving off of the big platforms. That's the trick. You know, in a way, we've been talking a lot about like ecosystems, typically in the context of the Overton window. You know, I've said about like Darren Beatty, I've said about myself, I've said about Donald Trump, a lot of these characters, in the context of politics, that if we can make it, then that will blaze the trail for other people like us to make it. In other words, I've said, like, for example, Darren Beatty got fired from the White House, as one example, because he went to whatever conference where Peter Brimelow spoke. And I said, if Darren Beatty lands on his feet and he does well, that shows that other people can be America First, immigration restrictionists, other people can associate with Peter Brimelow or whatever, indirectly, directly, and not get fired. And the more people that are okay doing that, the more we'll associate, the more we'll have those views. It's the same principle. It's analogous with the platforms. If I can make it off of the big platforms, if I can make it and still be relevant and still have a loud voice off of Twitter, off of YouTube, off of all these different platforms, then that will be a viable path for us. You know, the reason that people are so terrified of big tech is because for the longest time, if you get banned, well, then that means that you don't have a voice. If we get banned and we continue to be relevant, we continue to have a voice and so on, an audience and all that, well, then that eliminates the fear. That eliminates the stranglehold. That eliminates the checkmate that they have on us currently, that they have a monopoly on the political conversation because they control the platforms. So that is the long-term game. That is the end game, is ultimately to build something off the platforms and not just survive there, but to thrive. And we're already seeing that happen, by the way. We're seeing that happen with Sam Hyde. We're seeing that happen with Andrew Klavan. We're seeing that happen with a lot of people, it seems like, or increasingly more people that get banned, but yet they are able to remain out there. And so that is the future of America First. If you think that America First is going to be mainstream right away and we're going to exist on the platforms, you're wrong. Don't be fooled. The Groyper Wars was exciting and everything, but we are dissidents. And when you're a dissident, that means you have to put up with this kind of stuff. As a dissident, that means that the system, the status quo, the establishment is trying to destroy us. So we can never get too comfortable. We can never get too comfortable with the media, never get too comfortable with the social media platforms, anything like that. Every time we think we're getting over, every time we think that we're penetrating, they're going to throw up an obstacle like this. You know, just when we make the big break, Groyper Wars, oh, well, we'll pull the plug on the platform. Well, we just simply have to circumvent that and find a new way. And we will do that because that's how we did the show to begin with. You know, when I started this show, this deplatforming stuff was already underway. And I had already been subject to the attacks by the media, by Right Wing Watch, the hit pieces, Media Matters. And that didn't work, so they banned me. I don't think that's going to work either. But that is the future. That's a struggle basically for the next like 10 years. I don't know if I'll be doing the show for 10 years. But that is going to be the question, is about the platforms and who, if they really have monopoly on the political conversation. So obviously there is more on that next week. I am building something behind the scenes. It's not really anything like elaborate. It's not really anything like... It's going to be basically straightforward. I don't want to give away too much here, but it's going to be a longer-term solution to the problem of censorship. Because I'll tell you, and this is the last thing I'll say about it, and then we'll move on. The problem with the big tech monopoly is not simply that they can pull the plug. It's not simply that they can ban somebody like me at will arbitrarily for no reason. Maybe even a bigger problem is the self-censorship. And a lot of people said this after I got banned. They said, like, good, because now it means that you'll be able to say whatever you want. Now, I will contest the claim that it's a good thing I got banned from YouTube. A lot of people say that. Now, maybe it's a necessary thing, but it's definitely not a good thing to be banned from the undisputed biggest video platform on the internet in the history of the world. I don't know if that's a good thing. Good, you got banned off YouTube. Now you can be on BitChute. Oh, you mean that website that doesn't work? Great. Not a dig at BitChute. I mean, they're trying, but I mean, let's be real. But I will say there is something to people that have said, well, it's a good thing you got banned off YouTube because maybe it means you can finally say what you really mean. And there is something to that, because even worse than pulling the plug, it's they get us to pull the plug on our brains. They get us to pull the plug on being free thinkers and saying racial slurs and having ideological hatred. That last one is a joke, but it's true. On YouTube, you could see where language control becomes thought control. The more they modify how you talk and how you think because of their rules, the more they change your politics. It has a diluting effect. And for a long time, we had to play ball. We had to play by their rules. You know, optics was the whole thing. You know, partially, you know, it's a very nuanced topic, but a lot of it was obviously presentation and appealing to normal people and so on. But another part of optics was recognizing that for the last 2 or 3 years, the way that you get your message out is on social media. Social media has rules. You have to play by those rules to get your message out. That was a big part of it. But as the rules have become more restrictive, that has restricted our ability to properly or even adequately express real political dissent. You've seen it on this show, on America First, for the past like month. It's like I can't even talk anymore because these rules are insane. It's like you can't make fun of somebody, right? It's like you can't make fun of somebody for being short or like ugly or something else, you know, whatever. You can't use slurs. It's like speaking another language. It's like you have to stop every so often and process, like, wait a second, is that conform? And in a short period of time, maybe that doesn't matter. You know, if you have to watch what you're saying, if you're in mixed company, that's one thing. And even to an extent, if you have to moderate a little bit with vulgarities, that's acceptable. But it has gotten to a point where they have constructed the rules over time so that only our political viewpoints are not allowed. In other words, before it was like, okay, you can't call for terrorism. You can't call for genocide, whatever. And now it's like, if you look at the Facebook rules or the YouTube rules, it's like you can't say anything about white identity. You can't say anything about nationalism. You can't talk about the inherent prejudice of human beings. You can't talk about hierarchy. You can't talk about traditional biblical teachings. You know, if you look at the way the rule's been built, it's like explicitly to disallow now political statements, not just like vulgarities, not just calls to action, not other things like that. And so that is why we must leave the platforms, not just because they're banning us and we have to figure something else out, whatever, but because we need to preserve the integrity of the message. And the only way to do that is off of all platforms. Now, a lot of people have asked about DLive. What are the terms of service on DLive? I don't know. And frankly, I'm very nervous because we've been on DLive since, I think, April or something. And here's the trick. So far, so good. I've been streaming on DLive without problems. Patrick, Jaden, Jake, Vince, Steve, all these guys have been streaming on DLive. Ralph, without incident. But all it's going to take is one article. It's all it's going to take. You know, oh, DLive is the place where, I shouldn't even be saying this, but DLive is the white nationalist hangout. And then, you know, who knows what's going to happen? So that's when the rubber's going to meet the road. And you know that's going to happen. And if you read the community guidelines, it says, like, you cannot express hate for a person based on race, religion, sex, gender, sexual orientation, disease, disability, age, physical characteristics. It's like, well, what can you even say? What can we even say about anything, you know? So, point being, no community guidelines is going to be good. No community guidelines is going to, I mean, it's, you know who runs the show here, and you know who runs the show. They run the show with the back-end services and with the money, and they basically control everything. I don't think there is a off-platform. There is no platform that is immune from this kind of thing. Maybe that will happen in the future, but at least for now, there's like a few domain registrars, there's like a few payment processors, right? When you're talking about back-end services, like vital, technical services for websites and other things, there are only so many, and they are all under the thumb of the so-called specialists, you know, the hate watchers and the diversity people and so on, so any platform is a big fat question mark as to if there's a future. That is why we must go off platform. We must become independent. That's the next stage. Is it viable? I don't know. We're going to try and make it work. But that is the future for the right wing on the internet. And I'll tell you, this is the critical part. We've had it easy for the last 3 years. Might not have felt like that, but we did. You know, I've been on all the major platforms. I've been receiving money and everything. But it's going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse. And this is the transition that matters. If we can make it happen, if we can successfully make the transition from YouTube to the next thing, then I'll be very optimistic across the board about the future. But if we're not, it's going to make things very difficult for us politically. So it's a very complicated subject. I don't know if that sounded rambly or if that was insightful, but that is sort of my take on the banning. You know, a lot of people are like, woohoo, they're like celebrating, leftists in particular. It's like, why are you celebrating? Don't you understand that in a way, we really can't lose because, and this is what the plan is, by the way, is, you know, putting yourself in a position where it's difficult for you to lose. Either we remain on the platforms, and because I'm smart about optics and irony, you know, these are the two fists. These are the two guns of America First. Optics and irony, it's a lethal combination. Either we remain on the platforms and through the use of subversive rhetorical tactics, we are able to mainstream our message and we become legitimate political actors, and then game over for leftists. You know, if Catholicism and nationalism, tribalism, nativism, if all this stuff takes off and becomes legitimized, then the country belongs to us. So that's option one. Option two is they kick us off the platform because, you know, like the messages, they don't want to legitimize us, they don't want us in the Overton window, they don't want us making money, and then the message becomes different. That's the thing. They're like celebrating, woohoo, whatever, but they don't realize that if we have to be subversive, if we have to be sort of finagling around rules and everything, in a sense, they have a little bit of control over our message and our tactics. I mean, we do concede a little bit by being on the platforms. I think it's a smart trade-off because you get much bigger reach and much bigger influence, and we can make it work. We just have to be smart about it. But they do have a little bit of control over the message with their little community guidelines. Well, what happens when you take us off? What happens when you take us off YouTube and we don't have to play by the rules anymore? Well, the message changes. I don't know if you remember my first week on Telegram, but let's just say it was unoptical. And that is what's going to happen when we get kicked off the platforms. So if they want to keep pushing the envelope, if they just want to keep pushing and pushing, they want to make us fringe, well, that's going to carry with it a certain effect. I'm not implying anything here that isn't there. All I'm saying is they will lose that ability to moderate and regulate the conversation. And is that something they want to do? Obviously, people like Jared Holt aren't making the rules. It's like trans people and Indian programmers at Google, right, and Facebook and whatever. So in a sense, what is happening has a certain unstoppable momentum to it, and we're just going to see what happens, but it will have that effect. And the question is, once we go off platform, will our message become more viral because it will be more pure, more distilled? Or, you know, because we lose the reach, will it be strangled in the crib? That's the question, but it's a question. Remains to be seen the answer. Now, I don't mean to sound like the Riddler there, but it's true. You know, will we go off platform and people hear the message, the song of nationalism, unimpeded by these word games, and it becomes more compelling? Or does losing the reach of the big platforms sort of cancel out whatever benefit you have from not being a part of the rules? But that will be the effect. So now we're just going to go, we will go into the so-called shadows of the internet, and we will preach without rules, without community guidelines. And I don't know if that's something they want. So it's sort of a thing where I think we have, if we have the right approach, if we approach this in a smart way, this transition can actually benefit us. I don't love when people say that. You know, a lot of people say, oh, getting banned off of the big platforms is a good thing. It's actually great. You know, people said that about InfoWars. It's a Streisand effect. You banned Alex Jones and it only helped him. Yeah, well, maybe it helped him for like a week, right? If you look up like Google search trends or whatever, at this point in time, you'll see that it was probably like this, right? It was probably like people looked up Alex Jones for like a week while he was banned, and then it went back to like where it was and maybe lower. I haven't checked. And that's not a dig at Alex, but it is just an example of a lot of people have this mentality of, you get banned, nothing's going to hurt us. Everything's, you know, that actually helped us. Well, I don't love that like knee jerk. That seems like a big cope. It is like a marketing technique. But I will say that for us, it remains to be seen. It can be a big benefit. It can be. If we can make that transition successfully, and it's an if, but if it happens, we can become more powerful. If they strike us down, we can become more powerful than they ever imagined. It can happen. Who knows? We'll see. But anyway, that's YouTube. So we'll be here on DLive in the short term. Love D. What can I say? I love DLive. I love China. I love China. You know, DLive is owned by Chinese patriots. And, you know, we love China on this show. Do we love China on this show or what, folks? I heard like Alex Jones got banned or something because like, he didn't get banned for hate speech or anything. He got banned because I think he was talking about like some protest, some like completely astroturfed protest, you know, anarchists in the streets, something like that. And I got to say, he was way out of line talking about that. But we love China, don't we, folks? We love China here. So you won't have any problems for us on that front. We are China respecters on this show. China is a traditional nation. China is a traditional, relatively homogeneous nation. They've got the right idea. They've got police on the streets. The crime is very low. I mean, that's the way to do it, you know? Chinese food, I love it. Andrew Yang, you know, he was my candidate for a minute. So we salute our Chinese overlords. But don't you see, I mean, that is a joke, by the way. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. Please don't ban me. But don't you see how it goes? You know, when you're on YouTube, you have to tiptoe around certain things. And when you're on DLive, that's why we have to go somewhere else where there's no tiptoeing. There's no eggshells. It's just monster trucks. No eggshells, just monster trucks driving over eggshells, smashing them completely into the ground, saying the N-word. Now, that is also a joke. We don't have to say it's a joke anymore, even though it is. But anyhow. So we're going to dive in the news here. That's the platform stuff. That's my bread and butter. That's my industry, okay? That's my profession. That's trade talk, okay? That's talk from the trade. But we're going to dive into our news here. The first thing we're going to talk about is the Oscars. I don't, like, watch the Oscars. I don't know about you guys. It's, like, awards season, and I haven't watched an award show in, like, 10 years or something. My family used to watch them back when television was still very popular. This is before, you know, back in my day, before, like, Netflix and these kids with their phones. Family would gather around for television viewing at night, watch American Idol. You watch America's Funniest Home Videos. You watch American Idol, America's Got Talent. That's what you would watch. You'd watch The Office, 30 Rock, Community, Parks and Rec. That was Thursday night on NBC. I'll never forget. So I haven't watched the awards show in a long time. I'm not watching them this time around. I mean, we know why. It's all like Hollywood stuff. It's all like Hollywood, you know who's. And they give each other awards, and it's a lot of left-wing stuff. But this year, the Oscars are kind of epic. If you've seen the reports, it looks like Joker is going to be the big winner out of the whole Oscars. Not only is Joker the big winner, but you know who the big loser is? And I'm not saying this like it's a good thing, but this is just what like the Independent says. Women and people of color. That's according to the news reports. It says the big losers of the Oscars, femoids and people of color. No value judgment. That's just what the decisions were for the awards. So I'll read you. This is a report here from the Independent. It says, Joker, an R-rated blockbuster, topped the list of Oscar nominations on Monday, becoming the rare comic book film to resonate with awards voters. The Best Picture contender earned a leading 11 nominations, but the story of the morning will be the lack of diversity among the leading nominees and the exclusion of female filmmakers. That is sad. That is some tough stuff. It says Joker will vie for top honors at the 92nd Academy Awards with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, The Irishman, and 1917, all of which earned 10 nominations. There are 9 Best Picture contenders in total, a group that includes Ford vs. Ferrari, Jojo Rabbit, Little Women, Marriage Story, and Parasite. In the major categories, it was a list of mostly white nominees, one that will likely inspire outrage, frustration, and pushback. Only one person of color, Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, was nominated in the acting categories. It's only one person of color in all the acting categories. Female directors such as Greta Gerwig, Cassie Lemons, and Lulu Wang were also overlooked. You know, really good movies, but they just didn't get the credit. Only 5 women have ever been nominated for director, and only one, Kathryn Bigelow for The Hurt Locker, has ever won the prize. Issa Rae, who had been enlisted to read off the nominees, made a biting nod to their exclusion after the directing contenders were unveiled. She said, quote, "Congratulations to those men." Very profound. Very wow, they're really biting. Can we get some snaps there? I love when these, like, leftists, they think they're so... Oh, mic drop. Congratulations to those men. And everybody's posting the replies, the gifs of, like, you know, Drake standing upright and all the other clapping gifs or whatever. Wow, real mic drop. Shut up. Congratulations to those men. Direct better movies, maybe. Maybe direct better movies. Perhaps anticipating the storm to come, press notes shared by the Oscars took pains to note that a record 62 women were nominated, representing almost one-third of the year's nominees. 62 women. So it's a record number of nominees, but I guess just not in the right categories or something. And, you know, to me, it's so funny. It's such a good omen to me. The Joker thing is an evergreen meme. I was talking about this with a friend the other day. Dark Knight Joker, Joker, will never become stale. This meme is from October, and it's come back again. It just is like an unstoppable force. You know, I remember this Joker movie meme started when the teaser trailer came out like a year ago. You know, and even before that, there was like pre-production shots that came out, and that's when it like really started. And then there was that trailer where he's like smiling, and then he's got the Joker face, and he does that. And then the trailer came out, and then the movie came out. You know, so the meme just, like, kept reviving itself. And then, what was it? It grossed $1 billion. First R-rated movie ever to gross $1 billion. $1 billion for our movie, Joker. You know, everybody thought that it was going to be, I don't even know, like Day of the Rope or something when Joker came out. Remember, everybody said, there's going to be mass shootings all across the country. It was going to be like 9/11 times 1,000 because a Batman film was released in theaters. You know, people are like, if you're in Texas, don't go to the theater. Please, I love you. Don't go see Joker. I remember me and my friend drove to Joker and we were like terrified because of the hype, you know. We were driving there saying, like, I would rather be in Kabul, Afghanistan right now than at the live screening of Joker on opening night. So it after all of that, it grossed $1 billion, libs owned. And then now, if that was enough, it comes back in the new year, in the new decade, and becomes a record-breaking picture at the Oscars. It's the most nominated film out of all the films. And historically, one of the most nominated films. They're saying it's on par with The Titanic, Ben-Hur, like all these ancient, Titanic's not exactly ancient, but all these like classic movies, and even better than that, hey, make room, sweetie, Joker is coming through. You know, I know you made Little Women and like Harriet or whatever. Step aside, Lulu Wang, Joker is being nominated for 11 different things. To me, that is very epic. It's a very good omen. I thought the 2020s were going to... I used to think the 2020s were a tragedy, but I'm starting to realize they're going to be a comedy. So I just thought I should throw that out there. Very epic. There's not really much in the way of analysis there. I'm not going to try to tell you, like, Joker just became the number one Oscar-rated picture. Here's what that means. Here's why that means 2020 is Year of the Groiper. And I'm not going to do, like, a political take, but I just wanted to inform you that Joker is like, is very much an evergreen meme. I think it's a symbol of things to come. I believe in signs like this. I do believe in that. And it's very epic. I will say one note. I don't know if this will get me in trouble on DLive or not, but, you know, here's the thing about the underrepresentation. These groups don't make good movies. They're talking about like people of color not being nominated or whatever. No offense, but it's like, have you seen some of the pictures they make? I mean, what I always think about, and I'll just say this much. What I always think about is the year 1972. Okay, the movie Shaft came out in 1972, and also the movie The Godfather came out in 1972. Okay, Godfather and Shaft came out in the same year. Now, one is considered one of the greatest movies of all time, period. The Godfather, I think, is ranked number 3. On the AFI 100 list, it's like Citizen Kane, Casablanca, and then The Godfather. And Shaft is ranked as one of the best movies of all time in like a different category. Let's say like an identity politics category, okay? So one is like one of the best movies ever, and then one is like one of the best movies for like, you know, a certain category. And if you just watch those two movies back to back, it's almost like, I don't even know. It's like you could rank them differently. It's like sort of like two curves in terms of like movies. It's sort of like you could see it all right there, just watching those two pictures together. And then suddenly it becomes apparent. You know, Spike Lee, he made like one good movie, Do the Right Thing. And then what, like Chirac? And then this other ass movie he just made recently. You know, so to me that kind of says it all right there. In the meritocracy, it's very funny that all these things coincide. Don't you find the Oscars, in a soft sense, it's a meritocracy. And, you know, you've got your nominees. And then I also see, and this is something I just thought of, you also see the Democratic primary, another meritocracy. And who are going to be the candidates tomorrow? Which, by the way, Democratic debates tomorrow. Who are the candidates that are going to be on the stage? Who met the qualifications? You know, meritocracy. It's like you have to have this many donors and this many poll numbers. Who survived? I mean, look, I'm just saying, I find it very funny, and the femoid director thing is very funny, too. You know, very, very Joker-esque. This year is the incel Oscars, okay? This year, Oscars belong to incels. I believe Eggy has been invited. Jeff has been invited. You know, a lot of the memers have been invited. The black guy at the box office who sells you your one ticket to Joker, I believe he'll be there attending. It's going to be Occupy Oscars. For the incels. But anyway, that happened. I just want to throw that out there. Not like groundbreaking news or anything, but just going to show that 2020 is going to be the decade of the schmood. I'm a big believer. But we're going to move on to some real news here, and then we're going to read off the Ninjaginis. We'll give it a try. Okay, we'll read off the Ninja Genies later. We'll see how that goes. If we're able to do that successfully or not, I don't know. You know, we'll have to see how it works. Because I've never done the Ninja Genies before. Usually we just do... obviously, we just do the Super Chat, so it's like a different system. But we're going to move on here. We're going to talk about some real news here. I'm going to have a real take about this. I don't know if you saw this, but over the weekend, there was this drag queen story hour protest in Australia, in Brisbane, Australia, to be exact. And these have been happening, actually, increasingly. There have been a few in the United States, and this recent one was by this group called the UQ Liberal National Club. And so they went into a library where they're hosting one of these drag queen story hours, and they started chanting, "Drag queens are not for kids." And I saw this, and it, by the way, I mean, this was like sensational on the internet, all over Australia. It was all over national media, even in the United States, this like small protest. And I'll read you the report about what happened. I'll give you my take on this. So it says, this is from some Angloid source. It says, the Liberal National Party has moved to distance itself from a group that surrounded and chanted at two Brisbane drag queens who had been reading to children in a council library. A video posted to social media shows members of the University of Queensland's Liberal National Club confronting one of the drag queens, shouting, quote, "Drag queens are not for kids," at a public children's story time in the Brisbane Square Library on Sunday. One of the queens responded, quote, "They are so... what is this? They're so bitch again. Thank you for coming." Okay, so it's kind of like an incoherent response here. She said that at the man standing in front of her shouting. The UQ Liberal National Club, and by the way, in Australia, liberal means conservative. Liberal is like right wing, I guess, in Australia. The UQ LNC, which was disaffiliated by the LNP in December, defended the protest on its Facebook page. They said, quote, "Today, the UQ LNC took a stand to defend LNP values against a corrosive gender ideology. After a ratepayer-funded drag queen story hour finished this Sunday, we decided to make a public demonstration against the Brisbane City Council endorsing it. We stayed outside the room in which it was being held, waited until the event was over to make our point, did not respond to insults which were hurled at us, and left when directed by security. Police were called to the library just after midday, but a security guard managed to escort the protesters out before officers arrived. The reading was organized by Rainbow Families Queensland and was promoted by Brisbane City Council. A Rainbow Families Queensland spokesperson said, quote, the event was a beautiful celebration of diverse families run by two blue card registered and fully trained drag queens. I don't know what the fuck any of that means, by the way. Blue card registered. Drag queens have like licenses now, apparently. They're fully trained. Fully trained in what exactly? I wonder who administered the training. You know, I have to imagine that perhaps the so-called drag queen training was maybe administered in like early childhood by a relative, perhaps. The event was beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And the children enjoyed singing and dancing, reading and doing crafts. Now, I have to tell you, if anything is the future of activism, it's this. If anything is the future of reaction in like the political sense, reaction meaning like reactionary against this liberal revolution, which has been going on for 300 years, it's this. Because this is something counterintuitive for a lot of Republicans. I'm about to just drop some straight up genius. This is high power level stuff, okay? For years, the conventional wisdom, I'm talking now about America for the Republican Party, has been that Republicans have lost on social issues. If you go to any like Republican, College Republicans Club, if you go to any Turning Point chapter, obviously, which we just saw last month and the month preceding that, if you talk to any Republican congresspeople, the soft consensus is that Republicans have lost on social issues. They will say that they're in favor of traditional family values. They will say they're in favor of traditional Christian values, but they will not campaign on them. They will not promote them. They will not argue or push back against liberal morality or, you know, lack thereof. Liberal amorality or immorality, they won't push back on that. And that is because the soft consensus in these circles has been, if they're not outright apathetic or not Christian, you know, if they're not Christian, then if they are Christian and they're not apathetic, then the idea is that those are losing issues. That at some point between 2012 or 2015, the country is now in favor of total pause. It's in favor of total liberalization. It's in favor of total progressivism, you know, totally against nature and God. And if you campaign against that, you're just losing. But I'll tell you, things have changed since 2012. Things have changed since 2015. Maybe in that time period, I don't know, you know, you would have gotten huge media backlash, obviously, in 2012 and 2015. We were routed by liberals. And I think that was largely because at the time, people are not willing to push back or did not push back effectively. Nevertheless, in 2012 and 2015, the Republicans got killed on these issues. You know, they were too soft, they were too weak, not forceful enough, didn't have the right approach, whatever. For whatever reason, we got killed. But it's not 2012 anymore. It's not 2015 anymore. People in 2020 think that, well, it's a losing issue. We have to concede. We lost on this. But they're wrong. And they're wrong because the people on the left have overplayed their hand. People might have been willing to go along with, like, gay marriage, right? When that initial push was made, well, I mean, we could argue about when the initial push took place. But when the push for gay marriage happened, and it was very aggressive and very political, and it was all hands on deck from the media and everybody else, people are willing to go along with that, largely speaking. They're willing to say, oh, like, I guess, like, as long as it's not bothering anybody, I guess, like, I mean, Ellen's okay or whatever. I think that's largely what happened for a lot of middle-class, suburban-type people. But that's not what they're asking of you in 2020. They're asking you to be okay with transsexuals. They're asking you to be okay with, like, a guy, like a total guy, like 6 foot, whatever, and they're not even trying to pass saying, I'm a woman and I want to go into your bathroom and I want to go into your bathroom. And if you misgender me, you're going to go to jail now. You're going to have your life ruined and so on. They're asking something completely different of people. They're asking you to be okay with going to a children's library and seeing a grown man dressed up like a woman doing a lip-syncing dance routine that is totally sexualized in front of six-year-olds. They're asking you to be okay with nine-year-olds going on hormone replacement therapy and being chemically castrated because they, like, play with Barbie dolls. They're asking a lot more of people in 2020, and people are not on board with it. It's a different time. It's a different circumstance. This is something that we can win on. The only reason that they're not being crushed because of this right now is because we are not on the offensive. But if more of this starts to happen in the country, more opposition, more protests to drag queen story hours, more protests of chemical castrations, you know, hormone replacement for young people, this kind of thing. If Republican congresspeople made this a wedge issue in their campaign, we would start killing it in terms of electoral politics. We would start killing it in terms of the narrative. Because this is something that is so offensive, so obviously, intuitively, instinctively offensive and insulting and repulsive to most people, to normal people, that the left cannot win on something like this. This is a symptom of the largesse, the complacency of the left. They do, in fact, control so much of our society. They control academia, they control the media, they control the government, they control the bureaucracy, they control the schools, but they don't actually control the masses. They don't actually control everybody's minds, but they think that they do. Because they've had sort of uncontested sway over cultural attitudes, and it's really been uncontested for like 8 years, but really could go back like 50 years. We could argue these are semantic details, but because they've had this total control, at least since Obama's second term, they've gotten complacent. They've gotten reckless. And they've been so aggressive at pushing this stuff before this new generation, which has been inculcated with it from birth, has come of age, that they don't realize that people are not on board. Maybe they do, but they're going to push it anyway. It's a big mistake. And so whereas Republicans are campaigning and they're sort of soft on it, or they're like maybe 5 years behind this or whatever, if they turn it around, and you know, for example, you had a Republican congressperson in Iowa who made that a campaign issue, ran a campaign ad with Drag Queen Story Hour. You know, all these pictures that you've been seeing on Twitter for years, like these demonic drag queens, literally with horns, drag queens exposing themselves to children. If they show video of, what's that guy? what's that 10-year-old? These child drag queens. Desmond is amazing, dancing for dollar bills at gay bars. If they ran that on an advertisement aggressively in Iowa and made that a wedge issue, they would get huge electoral success because people are seeing this and they're pissed, but nobody wants to talk about it because they are stuck in this old paradigm. And that's maybe part of the reason, you know. More on that in a moment. They're stuck. A lot of well-meaning people are stuck in this 2012-2015 wrong mentality that, well, we're just lost on social issues. It's a lost cause. We just have to kind of stick and move on that and concede and surrender and try not to make a big deal out of it. Wrong. We have to make a huge deal out of this. This is arguably the most important transition that's happening in the country. It's about the family. And you think demographics are bad, and I don't mean to minimize demographics, but you think demographics are bad or like gun control is bad or anything like that. Not to say these other issues are not important, but think about the fact that they are trying to destroy the concept of gender itself. You know, you could argue that maybe like the first thing a society should do is reproduce itself. You know, men and women getting together, pair bonding, having children. You could argue that's like the first priority of a civilization, of a group settlement. And they are trying to destroy that, take that away. Destroy man and women, the distinction, destroy traditional relationships like this, you know, having children as the basis of these kinds of relationships. That is arguably the foundation of, it is the foundation of everything, the family unit, and what binds the family unit together, but the complementarity and the integrity of the male and the female gender, of the man and the woman, being socialized as men and women, biologically expressing themselves as men and women, identifying as men and women, and within marriage, within that, you know, you could call it a construct, whatever, within the holy union of marriage and having children. That's the foundation. That's the nucleus. There's nothing more important than that. If we make that back, if we put that back at the center and make that the nucleus of the platform, I think that would be revolutionary in the conservative movement. That would be huge. So I see this Drag Queen Story Hour thing. I see a lot of potential. You know, a lot of people have been talking about Groyper Wars. And don't get me wrong, there's like a phase two of the Groyper Wars planned. But I think the evolution of this would be to take it to Drag Queen Story Hours. You know, I think we were already seeing March for Life has been very successful because there's another thing. You know, you will find a lot of young people, or not even ideological, but instinctively they know that killing babies is wrong. You know, you could see that being pro-life is one of the most popular conservative issues even for Generation Z because it's timeless. Because killing babies is never cool, even if the media says it is, no matter what. It's something that's horrible. And that's why you see March for Life is huge. That's why you see that that kind of thing is the bread and butter of conservatism. I think a lot of bad actors in like GOP Inc. and Conservative Inc., I think they abuse that. You know, I think they trot out somebody that's pro-life in name only, or they use that to get other subversive policies. But nevertheless, it's huge. And this is another one of those issues. This is another huge thing. Pro-life was huge. I think in the same way, opposing this would be huge. And it is something that would bring people into the fold about some of these bigger ideas about what it means to be a moral person, what we want as a society, what is the public good, you know, what kind of society we want to live in and raise children in. It brings us back to a family-based perspective, a family-based lens and angle from which to perceive society. So to me, that is pretty critical. Maybe people are not willing, you know, when the argument as it was made in 2010 is like Westboro Baptist, you know, fuddy-duddy old people who are offended by like two guys kissing. Could you imagine such a thing versus like, you know, Glee and Lady Gaga? Well, you know, okay, contextually, where's a young person going to go? The media and what other young people are doing, whatever, all these fuddy-duddy haters. Well, in 2020, where are they going to go with these like freakazoids, these freak shows, Drag Queen Story Hour, what is obviously wrong to be exposing to children? We're on the side of God, on the side of militant pro, not militant in the sense of like armed, but you know what I'm saying, very, very assertive pro-family organizing, pro-family activism. I think that is the winning strategy. Now, tragically, the guy that organized this all killed himself the other day. This is according to the same source. It says the head of the University Liberal National Club that did this protest has died. The club president, Wilson Gavin, was one of a group of people storming the Drag Queen Storytime event. He took his own life on Monday morning. And, you know, this is sort of an aside, but what do you think happened to all these kids that showed up to Drag Queen Story Hour to protest? And by the way, to protest respectfully, you know, they showed up. They didn't even enter into the event. They allowed the event to take place. They waited for people to walk out, and then they chanted at them. And these people were saying terrible things to the protesters, and they didn't respond to the insults. When they were asked to leave, they left. And the media, of course, immediately doxed everybody involved. You know, of course, you had some scumbag rat journalist with a camera in everybody's face and then posted on Twitter. Okay, Twitter, do your thing. Let's identify these people. And they identified each and every one. And I'm sure they got harassed by the whole world. Harassed, bullied, targeted, all these things. And it's really amazing. They try to make it out like, oh, all these like disaffected so-called marginalized groups just like can't walk outside every day without being called the N-word or the K-word or the F-word or the S-word or the C-word or, you know, the B-word or the W-word. You know, they can't walk outside the street without being like run over by a Dodge Challenger or something like that. But it's obviously the reverse. It's like these people are celebrated. If you're like a black woman who graduates high school, it's like, oh, NASA says you're hired. You're going to be on the space shuttle. You know what I'm saying? And if you have any bone to pick with anything that's going on in society, like your life is destroyed. So it's really the opposite. But in any case, it just goes to show the real battle we're fighting here. Young people taking a stand against like pedophilia, basically. People that are exposing themselves to young people, these deviant, weird people. And I don't care what you know, for the sake of community guidelines, I don't care what you think about drag queens, if you think it's funny or whatever. It's not for kids. No matter what you think about drag queens. Even if you're a liberal, even if you're the most hardcore progressive liberal, drag queens are not for kids, obviously. You know, I don't think drag queens are for anybody, but even if you think that's entertainment or whatever, it's not for six-year-olds, and it certainly doesn't belong in a public library, right? And for going there and saying the obvious, these people get their pictures plastered everywhere, I'm sure doxed, their addresses included, harassed, threatened, so on by the whole world. And this guy kills himself. And these are the casualties. These are the casualties. I've seen so many stories like this after Charlottesville, all kinds of different things where people take their own life or horrible things happen. And it just serves to remind you that the press is the enemy of the people. These are our enemies. These are not good people. These are not like our compatriots, but we just happen to disagree. These people are scum. You know, you look at the people that are spreading this kind of stuff in the cities, in the schools, all over the country. These are bad people. These are terrible people. And we have to start treating them like that. They treat us like that. You know, notice in all these community guidelines, while we're on the subject, on YouTube and on any platform, they will protect against hatred for everything except for Christianity, whiteness, and right-wing political views. Everything else is protected. If you're short, dumb, ugly, retarded, if you're in a wheelchair, if you're black, if you're Muslim, Jewish, if you're Jewish, if you're a Zionist, if you're Jewish, if you're in a wheelchair, if you're Jewish, it's all protected. But you know what's not protected? Christianity. Not protected. And, you know, I'm not telling you anything groundbreaking here. But it does go to show that, but they see us as fair game. And that is the vitriol that they use against us. You know, they don't treat us like we treat them. We treat them like, well, we're all the same, but we just disagree. Come on, brother, let's unite. I love you. I want to make America great again with everybody. But they don't see it like that. If you're even like Christian, they'll call you Nazi scum. You should be doxxed. You should be hung from a lamp. That's what they say to people. That's what they say to us. That's what they say to me. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a hater. I'm a good guy. I am a nice guy, okay? All right, I'm a cool guy. Ask anybody, ask any of my friends. I'm pretty nice, all right? I'm a cool guy. I'm a nice enough guy. But they will say, Nazi scum, we'll hang you from a lamppost. You should be doxxed. You know, horrible, nasty things. And you know what? We're not saying that about them because, oh, well, we just have to because they're saying that about us, golden rule style. But it's because these people are actually in the wrong. They're going out there uncontested in mainstream media saying the worst thing you could be is a racist and they're all racist. Well, how about this? The worst thing you can be is a pedophile, and that's what they're all enabling. And these people should be put in jail, and there should be a death penalty for abusing children like that. How about that, right? Because all day long, we hear in the national news media, we've allowed them to set the moral standard that the worst thing you could be is intolerant. The worst thing you could be is not nice, insensitive, right? That's what they tell us. That is what they've programmed us all to believe. He's a racist. He's a Nazi, you know. That's the basis. That's the first principle, is everything's okay as long as you don't have, like, prejudice. I'm sorry, but that's not my moral compass. My moral compass says that if you insult God and you oppose nature and you abuse children, these are the worst things. These are people that kill babies. They don't just say they're pro-choice. They say they're pro-abortion. You know, it used to be the argument was, well, it's all, if you're in a bad situation, like, it's better if a doctor does it than in an alley. That's not what they're saying anymore. Not like that's, you know, a good thing, but that's not even what they're saying anymore. Now they're saying, get many abortions, get as many abortions as you want. People literally kill babies. You know, and even 10 years ago, the argument used to be, two consenting adults just want to get married. Who cares what they're doing in the privacy of their own bedrooms? It's not in the bedroom anymore. It's not confined to the bedroom anymore. Maybe I'd be okay with that, but that's not what's... And I'm not, but, you know, maybe you could argue that at the bare minimum, but that's not what's happening. It's not in the privacy of people's bedrooms. It's not consenting adults. It's children now. It's children being exposed to this every day. In school, in library, on bus stops, in advertisements, billboards, TV, movies. It's in Marvel movies, Star Wars movies. People that are corrupting children, people that are taking children and telling them that it is normal and okay to look at pornography, to be in deviant sexual relationships, things that will land them in hell. I'm sorry, but that's the worst thing you can be. And you're a bad person if you believe that. You're the worst kind of person, and I don't want to talk to you. And I think you should be fired from your job for that. And I think you should be put in jail for that, if you want to know the truth. I think all these people peddling all this stuff should be put in jail. I think all that stuff should be illegal. You know, pornography's been in the news lately because of that letter that was drafted by Jim Banks and a few other congresspeople. Let's talk about pornography. You've got people that make money off of trapping children, making them addicted to masturbating, to deviant sexual acts on the internet. They make money off of that. You've got people with mansions that have addresses, by the way, millionaires, multi-millionaires, because they have built algorithms that will lure in and trap children into watching lewd sexual acts, manipulating how their brain works. People are millionaires off of this. And people are concerned because what? Roseanne Barr said that, what's-her-name is a monkey, right? Because somebody said the N-word one time. I'm sorry. But at a certain point, we as a society must say that killing babies, getting children addicted to pornography, chemically castrating children, landing people in hell, eliminating people's chances at salvation, insulting God is worse than being insensitive. It's time to say that. You're a worse person if you're in favor of killing babies. You're a bad person if you vote for people like that than if you're insensitive, right? Than if you're, like, less than totally inclusive or tolerant. That has to be the new moral standard. That's the winning issue. That's how you turn it all around. But you only turn it around if you reject the whole framework that has been constructed by the left. We've been playing their game for too long, where we say being racist is the worst thing you can be. And I'm not a racist. You call me that, but I reject your accusation. We have to reject the whole framework. I don't care about being called racist. I don't care about those names. I don't care about being called whatever, because there are millions of babies being aborted. I don't care about that because millions of people are on drugs because they're depressed, because their parents are divorced, and they're addicted to pornography, right? That to me, it keeps me awake at night. That, to me, is offensive. You know, so call me whatever you want. But that is the only way that we can win, is by completely reversing and making the case, making a compelling, assertive case for our worldview from our worldview and not from theirs. So I see this Drag Queen Story Hour stuff. I see this, a young man who I think actually was homosexual, even, but he even, as a homosexual, saw that this was wrong, who took his own life because the media did all this stuff, and it just goes to show who we're dealing with and what the message has to be. The minute that we start participating in this war, we will win it. We have to first realize that it's a war, you know, that it's not a team sport where, you know, we're all on the same team and we're all in this together, and, You know, we're all going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. The minute we reject that idea and we realize that you've got two irreconcilable factions in the country of people that are okay with everything I've just listed and people that are not, until you realize that these two factions are irreconcilable, that there will be no compromise, and that they hold mutually exclusive positions, you realize that that is the definition of a war. That is the definition of a conflict. Because you cannot have no abortion in the country and abortion in the country. You cannot have no deviancy being promoted and deviancy being promoted. You know, in other words, you have to, we have reached a fork in the road and you must go in one direction. And everybody has to go along with it. There's no middle path. There's no compromise. You know, you have to choose at a certain point what kind of society you want to live in. And some people want to go one way and some people want to go the other way. But one thing's clear, everybody's going to go wherever we choose to go. The other side will be subdued and dominated with the use of force. We're seeing that. Eventually it's laws, it's gun to your head, you are going to support this. You know, that's what we're talking about. That is not everybody coming together and finding, you know, some kind of common thing and we're all bleeding red, white, and blue. That is, at a certain point, the liberal elite will hold a gun to your head and say, this is going to be the society, and you're going to like it, and you're going to participate in it, and you're going to be okay with it, and you're going to talk like this, and you're going to act like this, and you're not going to question it, and so on. And the minute we realize that that's a paradigm, we're going to pull out our gun, you know, metaphorically, rhetorically, it's symbolizing, you know, politics, symbolizing, like, assertive rhetoric, assertive policy making. We're going to pull out our piece and we're going to say, no, bitch, you're coming with us. Excuse me, no, we're going back. We're going back. Back before the French Revolution. And you're coming with us. You're going to be okay with it. Metaphorically speaking, you know, not advocating for violence, disavow, you know, any violent actions, any, you know, real weapons being wielded. I'm talking about the pen. I'm talking about words, ideas. I'm an ideas kind of a guy. But the minute, in other words, but the minute that we realize that it is a conflict and one trying to subdue the other, and we start acting like it, we can turn the whole ship around. We really can. I do believe that. So there's a white pill in this. There's a white pill in the fact that they have overplayed their hand and they've created an opportunity for us to go in. We just have to have the balls. We have to have the guts. We have to be smart. We have to have the brains to capitalize, take advantage, and I think we can win. But that is what happened in Brisbane. Very, very tragic. We're pressing F for Wilson Gavin. And hopefully we see more stuff like this. But we're going to move on. We're going to look at our Ninjaginis. I understand you have lemons for me. We gotta grease the wheels at the America First machine, okay? Gotta get some lemon juice to grease the wheels here, all right? Because Super Chats are gone, and it's like, you know, why I'm even sitting here reading about poo and whatever if the wheel is not being greased. So we'll take a look. We'll see what people are saying with these Ninjaginis. We'll take a look. Like I said, it's going to be in real time. It's going to be in real time. Send them now. Send your Ninjaginis now. Send them with a message, and I will do my best to read them all, but the chat's moving very fast right now, so I don't know how quickly I can read them. Yeah, so far it has loaded exactly 3 Ninjaginis. So let's see. We've got General Pinochet, who says America first forever. That's a Ninjagini. Sir Pancake says, God bless, thanks. Okay, I'm going to have to refresh because they're moving too fast. Robert Thomason says, DLive TOS is hate speech that directly attacks a person or a group on the basis of race, ethnicity, and so on. Yeah, it's not going to be. I don't know. It's not much different than YouTube. But I never advocate for hate. I am a lover. Leptelaris says, diamonds are the backbone of America first. Yes. No more Super Chats, only lemons, diamonds, Ninjaginis. Rootless says, what are your thoughts on Roger Ailes in light of the new HBO series? Well, I haven't seen the new HBO series, but I guess it's supposed to make him out like he's, what, like a rapist or something? Or he covered up a rape or whatever. Roger Ailes kind of created Fox News. I don't really know too much about him. I mean, he kind of kept it from being too cringe. Like, now the Rupert Murdoch kids are running the network, essentially, and they're, like, hardcore liberal. So I guess he was sort of the bulwark against total pausing on Fox News, which, you know, it's not great. Fox News is never great, but it's better than, like, CNN, you know? So I think it's sort of arguable, his legacy in that regard. But I haven't seen the series, so I don't really know, like, what his crimes are, if he was just Me Too'd or what really happened there. But I hate Megyn Kelly, so that, in a way, kind of makes me like Roger Ailes. Let's see. Seb says, you went off tonight, King. Hopefully we can keep this energy all through 2020. God bless. Well, thanks. Yeah, hopefully we can do that. Let's see. Slagworthy says, go off, King. I'll chase you around the internet forever if necessary. God bless. Well, thanks. I'm glad to hear that you guys have chased me here. It looks like we had like 10,000 viewers tonight. It's so funny. All these people like, America First is over. He got banned off YouTube. What a good... And doubled the live viewership. Doubled the live viewership. 10,000 viewers. Yeah. It's so tragic. Oh, it's the end. It's the end of America First. America First is unstoppable. We literally cannot be stopped. America First will dominate the world. America First will dominate the world. And God wills this. I know that's a little dated, little cringe, but it's true. America First is unstoppable. It's a viral manifesto. Cannot be stopped. God is with us. God is on our side. Let's see. We've got Fool for Christ. Says, strong beard, King. Stay blessed. Shout out to any Orthodox Christian bros. Yeah, shout out to, yeah, Orthodox is pretty based. And yeah, thanks. Yeah, beard's coming in nicely, right? I kind of like it. I don't know if I'm going to keep it or for how long, but yeah, I think it's looking good. Let's see. Armenian Groiper says, what they're doing to white people is a genocide. Trust me, I know. We got your back. Hashtag Oscars so based. Oscars so based? That's a pretty good hashtag. But yeah, you know, I mean, it's the definition of genocide. If this were happening, I know it's like, you know, trite at this point, but it's true. If it were happening to anybody else, they call it a genocide, but not when it's happening to us, you know. It's something to take seriously, you know. Our people are going away, and everybody's like shrugging their shoulders. They're like, so what? I don't care. It's like, if it was happening to somebody else, well, you know, we know that if it happens to anybody else, you never hear the end of it. You never hear the end of it, but what happens to us, people are like, yeah, whatever. Whatever. I don't even care about stuff like that. All I care about is, I don't even know. I'm not even trying. That wouldn't really work. But you know what I'm saying. I've talked to a lot of my friends. I'm like, you know, white people are going away. Doesn't that bother you? Yeah, why should I care? Why should I care? It's just my skin color. Well, do you care about, like, not getting murdered in the streets? Do you care about, like, rocket ships, cathedrals? Do you care about... don't mean to go off there, but hello. You should care. Nitro Dubs says, you have my support for life. America First never dies. Hell yeah, America First forever. If I ever, maybe part two of the show will be called America First Forever. I've always wanted to make like a sequel title for the show. It's like, well, that was back on America First. We had America First Reloaded, I think, for a couple of shows, which I think is hilarious. America First Reloaded. America First Forever might be the next one. America First is unstoppable. You know, something like that. Some sequel premise. Spinoff series. Who knows? Maybe that'll happen. Who knows? We'll see. That is, significantly different. Chief Bulging Snakes says, you can read DLive Super Chats in your activity monitor. Yeah, I know that. That's why I'm reading it now. But in the activity feed, it only allows so many messages before you can't scroll up anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, it'll only load like five, and then if five more come in, then the previous five are gone. I don't know if it's five, but it's not. I can't scroll all the way back up. So I'll have to maybe integrate it with Streamlabs. I think that's what you have to do. So we'll have it fixed for tomorrow, for sure. Let's see. Bruzuff says, 11 Oscar nominations for Joker. Biggest sweep thus far, 11 nominations and wins, is Return of the King. 11 nominations and wins. I don't know if they'll get 11 wins, but, I mean, certainly... Is my neck going to crack? Oh, but certainly they are poised to have big success. So, who knows? Maybe that'll happen. That'd be pretty big. Doomgroip says, Christ came not to bring peace, but a sword. Thank you for reminding everyone tonight. Epic speech. Well, thanks a lot. So true. You know, I remember I read the Bible all the way through for the first time in college. And, you know, it was actually shocking to me because, frankly, I was a cultural Catholic like my whole life until I got to college and I actually got serious about being Christian, being Catholic. And I read through it. I'm like, wait a minute, is this the same guy? Is this the same guy everybody's talking about? You know, because this guy doesn't sound like, you know, hippie, love everybody, love your neighbor, everything's fine, whatever. You know, this guy explicitly said, I'm not even trying to bring people together. I'm trying to divide people. Sell your cape, buy a sword. You know, that's different guy than what we hear about. So, very true. Big Money Wagey says, anyone going to give me some competition for top contributor? Let's see it. Yeah, well, thanks, Big Money Wagey. He's always got my back. This guy's like our guy here. So I appreciate it. I haven't seen like all the donations, so forgive me if I'm missing a lot of them. Let's see. Fool for Christ says, American First 2 Electric Boogaloo. The Electric Boogaloo meme's kind of cringe. I'm not going to lie. I don't love that one anymore. You know, that one's been around kind of for a long time, and I never found it very funny. America First 2 Electric Boogaloo. I don't know. It's just, it's one of these very, like, lazy formats. It's like anything 2 Electric Boogaloo. X2. These, like, very lazy, like, X nationalism. Oh, burger nationalism? Minecraft nationalism now? Coffee cup, mug nationalism? Necktie nationalism? Are we necktie nationalism now? It's like, Necktie 2 Electric Boogaloo? It's too easy. It's too easy. I hate that. Okay, let's see what else. We've got... Okay, a lot of Ninja Geenies from Big Money Wagey. Thanks a lot, but no messages. So thanks for those. Bob Sakamana says, do you want an Imgur album of early Lambo's Diamond Chats? If so, here. Oh, wow. This is actually very convenient. Thank you very much for this. This might have saved our show for tonight. Wow, thanks for compiling that. Boo Radley says, my friend is watching you for the first time live tonight from Minnesota. Also, you killed me in Rust. Ah, well, hey, hello to the first-time viewer in Minnesota. Hope you're enjoying the show. Sorry for killing you in Rust. You're not a part of the clan. How am I supposed to know? I've got people running up on me. I don't know if that's Burgish Muffin. I don't know if that's one of the Wakandans. That's not a joke. That's their clan. It's like Wakanda or something. So I don't know who you are. If you're not a part of the team, you get shot on sight. We said that, okay? I cannot be blamed for being overly cautious in Rust. We're dealing with serious raiders. But let's take a look at the Imgur album. Let's take a look. We've got Zor Animator, who just said Zor. Thanks for that. Let's see. Kozer says, can we expect more go-off moments here on DLive? No. Because it's like the same TOS. I'm still shackled to rules. Rules, always rules. But we're going to make the rules. I'm not going to break anything there. But we are going to make the rules one day. Let me tell you, in a time not too far off, we will be making the rules. And then things will be different. Hey, I want a toast. I'd like to say a toast, all right? Let's have a toast for America First. Jared Holt is upset. Everybody's upset right now. This is only the beginning. This is the beginning of the beginning. The Groyper Wars, this show, the past 3 years, everything. It's the beginning of the beginning. It's a sign of things to come. So let's have a toast. I want everybody to raise. If you have your America First mug, I want you to raise your mug, Coke bottle, anything like that. Get your glass of water, White Monster. We're going to have a toast. I want a tea in chat. Tea for toast. America First is unstoppable. The things to come, the plan is so good. I've been telling you for a long time to trust the plan, and you will begin to see it in 2020, but it's a long plan. It's an intergenerational struggle, and that obviously starts with this generation, many years, but this is only the beginning. It's a sign of things to come. So let's toast. America First is unstoppable. America First will never die. They can never stop what's happening here. So cheers to everybody. Thank you. Thank you for watching. Not the end of the show, by the way, but I do just want to do a quick toast because it is a big moment. 10,000 viewers on DLive. It just goes to show they can strike us down. And unlike other shows, this is not going to be like a one-off thing. They can't get rid of this, okay? I have a sense from the divine that what we're doing here, we cannot lose. I'm trusting the big plan. I'm trusting my plan. and I hope you are too. And so we're saying cheers. We are typing C in chat for cheers to America First. It will never die. It is unstoppable. And the water tastes better. The water tastes better on the other side. We're finally, in a sense, free. But we're going to move on. We're going to take a look at more of our Ninjaginis here. Let's see. We're getting a lot of C's in chat, a lot of cheers. Cheers. I'd like to say a toast. I said toast. Okay. But back to the Ninjaginis. Martin Shkreli says, I attended my first Mass yesterday. I hope to be baptized soon. Thank you, Nick. Eternally, I'll never forget. Well, hey, congratulations. That's great to hear. It's the most important thing. It's the most important thing. Because when you die, where are you going to end up? You going to be tortured forever? Are you going to be on fire forever, tortured forever? Are you going to come face to face with God? That's what matters. So when I hear that, it's like, this political stuff, necessary. But what's happening with the God situation, if my followers are converting, if they're joining the church, if they're becoming Christian, this is what matters. So congratulations. I'm glad to hear that. Archer says, Nicker Nation will not have borders, only fronts. That's right. We're surrounded on all sides. It means they can't escape, right? They've got nowhere to run. Let's see. SP says, thoughts on the tattoo Jared Holt got with his roommates to celebrate your banning off of YouTube? I thought it was very cute. Jared Holt got his, what did he get tattooed? He got like flowers tattooed on his arm. I thought that was very nice. Very nice, Jared. Wow. Cool flower tattoo, Jared. Very funny to me. I don't understand this, like pussies getting tattoos. You know what I mean? Like, when my roommate in college, whenever he would go home, I was at Boston University, if you don't know, for a year. And I had a roommate. I lived in a double room in a dorm. And every other weekend, or whenever he would go home for the weekend, he lived up in, like, Maine. He would come back with, like, a tattoo. And the guy was, like, a total, like, puss. You know what I mean? Like, total F-word. Total F-word, P-word. And he would always come back with these tattoos. And I just, like, don't get it. It's like, isn't it... Don't you get a tattoo to show that you're, like, hard, that you're, like, tough? And Jared comes with these, like, frilly, cute flower... Hi. Oh, cute flower tattoo, Jared. Oh, you got these, like, cute, frilly flower tattoos. Oh, that's very nice, Jared. I think when I saw him IRL, he had like other flower tattoos. I just don't understand. I don't get it. So I think they're very nice. Wow, Jared. Wow. Cute flower tattoo, bro. It's really nice. It's really adorable, bro. Really nice flower tattoo. It's a reminder that all of the enemies of the show are F-word. They're F-words, okay? They're big, fat F-words. I know, we can't. Don't say that in chat, by the way. Don't say that. Don't say it in chat. We cannot have, please do not express hatred for people on the basis of their sexual orientation. We can't have that. Sweating profusely. Please stop saying the F word in the live chat. You're going to get me in trouble, all right? I'm going to get another email with screenshots. You're going to say, Nick, you need to get your chat under control. So please refrain. Please refrain. Refrain from... anything that could be misconstrued as violating community guidelines, all right? Please. I'm going on record as saying that, by the way. I'm going on record as reprimanding you. Stop it. It's like remember when Trump said that he was being interviewed on 60 Minutes? They're like, what do you have to say to your supporters who are doing blah, blah, blah? I hate that. I don't want them to do that. And if they're doing that, I say, stop it. Stop it. That's my moment here. Don't, no ideological hatred against people on the basis of protected characteristics, all right? Please. But I do think the flower tattoos are very gay. I think they're very gay, very feminine. And why should they be celebrating? You know, they have no idea what's coming. They have no idea. Anyway, but back to the Ninjaginis here. Another close call. We're going to have to figure out how to moderate some of these things. Let's see. Daniel, Plainview, no chat there. Oh, great. Chief Bulging Snake says, I can't read that. French person says, serious question, what happens if you become president with a favorable Republican majority in both chambers? Yeah, that's not really like a serious question, but if that excuse me, burp. If that happened, I would probably shut down the border. I would say no immigration for indefinitely. No immigration indefinitely. Border wall going up. Illegals being deported. Every single one of them. I would say pronatal tax policy. If you have kids, tax break. If you get married, tax break. If you stay married, tax break. Tax credit. Tax credit. The government pays you money. I would probably, things like that. I would probably focus on like pronatal economic policy, pro-family economic policy, shutting down immigration and downsizing the foreign wars. So similar to like what Trump's doing, I guess, on the foreign policy front and also on the trade front is probably what I would do. And infrastructure. Let me think. What else would I do? I would start with that. That would be for starters. Let's see. Minnesota Groiper says, a movement that's based in the inherent good and traditional mores will never fail. Trust the plan. So true. So true. We can never fail. We've got God on our side. Who could be against us? Slagworthy says, have you read Summa Theologica? No. That thing's like a million pages. Let's see. Armenian Groiper, I just read that one. Windy Beam says, I just want to say you're doing God's work. Well, thanks. Atlean says, Diamond Check. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to read the diamonds, just the Ninja Genies. Diamond's like a dollar, so. Let's see, what else? Finally, we have our, like, limit. We have our minimum, right? So I'll take diamonds. I'll take lemons and ice cream and diamonds, but I'm only going to read the Ninja Genies. Vincent James, hey, thanks for the Ninja Genie. He says, support Nick. We will win big things in the works. Yeah, thanks a lot. It's true. Man, the plan is so fucking good. The plan is so good. I, like, love the... I'm like Plankton, Sheldon Plankton when he gets Plan Z. I've tried everything from A to Y. And Karen says, what about Z? Z? It's diabolical. It's lemon-scented. That's me with the plan. I've got the plan. But it's not diabolical. It's the opposite. It's based... It's righteous, it's virtuous, it's lemon-scented. So that's how I'm feeling. I'm very, very optimistic. You know, people that are not trusting the plan are just going to commit suicide. I don't say that like it's a good thing. I feel very badly for them and their families. When all the plan trusters commit suicide, I'm not going to be happy about it. I will not be happy that their families will be grieving. Funerals, you know, funeral homes... I'm going to be investing lots of money in funeral homes, stocks in these publicly traded funeral home companies because, man, they're going to have so much business that's going to be flooded with arrivals, flooded with business. They're going to have people overflowing outside the doors. They're going to be holding outside funerals in the rain, funerals on the roof, in the parking lot, because there are going to be so many, because so many people are going to say, I doubted Nick. I got blocked by him on Twitter. It's over for me. I have no other options. Now, you know, you just have to take your consequence. You'll just remain blocked on Twitter. I'm trying to talk you out of it. Please don't kill yourself. But, and I'm not proud to say it, but a lot of people will take their lives. They'll take the coward's way out. They will do the ultimate thing. And it's not a good thing. I feel very badly for their cousins, their siblings, their parents. My heart goes out, but that is what's going to happen because the plan is so good. It's unfolding already in such a good direction. Anyway, let's see. Daniel Plainview says, great numbers tonight and awesome takes. Now is the time to show Nick some real support and send a message. That's right. Now is the time. If you've got, what does Obi-Wan Kenobi say on Utapau? If you've got troops, now's the time. So that's very true. I-Hole says, love the show, King. Trust the plan. True. Jay Rocher says, bro, YouTube is a bunch of Zerglins. Remember, play the trans card to save your YouTube channel. That's right. Trans Nick. Trans Nick says, you can't ban me. I'm trans. Let's see. ZX says, bruh, how did you become so cool? I was born cool. Didn't become cool. I was born cool. It's called genetics, all right? I was born Italian. What else do we have here? Nick Papa Giorgio says, can't keep America first down. So true. Oops, I read a diamond on accident. Didn't mean to do that. Penelope with a ninja. Holy smokes. Penelope says, no e-girls ever, but enjoy the lemons. America first without end. Well, hey, thanks so much. Thank you so much for the ninja. Really appreciate it. Let's see. Zoomer G says, so you's be saying I got to pay $10 to get a nibba to say pee pee poo poo now? Shit. Yeah, them's the rules. Well, that's how it goes. Now that I'm like a baller, now that I'm like a player, we got to up the ante a little bit, all right? I'm going to ask a little more out of you, but don't subscribe. Don't subscribe on DLive. You might have to subscribe to something else very soon. Not trying to drop too many hints, but you can subscribe on DLive, but you shouldn't. You should save your money. Should save your money for this. So if you're planning on dropping a lot of lemons and you don't have a lot of money, save it so you can subscribe maybe like for something else. I don't know, you know, like hypothetically, if something came around and like you want to subscribe to it and that's like what I'm counting on, that's maybe what you should, you should not subscribe here. You should wait for that. Let's see. Crocs Rockets, his thoughts on Mormons. They're okay. Just don't. Some of their beliefs are just a little out there, like Scientology type stuff. So it's not like really like Christianity. Don't want to insult them because I mean they do live a lot of like family values and things like that. But it's, I mean, it's not like really Christianity, and they do have like a mafia. So Warren says, so is protesting drag queen story hours a good idea? Worth the risk of getting doxxed? Well, here's what I have to say about this. If you don't want to get doxxed, don't do activism, okay? I've never been in favor of people taking risks that they are not comfortable with. You know, I've been accused of this. Bronze Age Pervert said that we were doing Groyper Leadership Summit, that I was leading everybody to get doxxed, which was wrong. Because I told everybody, if you feel uncomfortable, like, don't come. Don't apply to come. Don't email me. Don't come. Don't go to the show. Just watch my show, right? Or don't go to the event. Just watch my show, you know. Do what you're comfortable with. And I've told people in the past, like, there's always a risk when you join a group, when you do activism, whatever, that there's whatever. You could be doxxed, and don't do it if you're not prepared for that, and so on. You know, so I've always said, only do what you're comfortable with. So I'm not telling everybody must be an activist. Everybody must go out and do. I will never say that. If you're comfortable with it, you know, if you're in a position where if you did blow up on media, that it wouldn't affect you too badly. You know, if you have like a young family and you have a very tenuous job, like obviously, no, don't do it, right? But if you're in a position where you think you could afford something like that, if you're in a position where you're comfortable, and be very judicious about this, you know, particularly young people. Young people, I would say, think long and hard about it. Because young people, they get out there and, you know, they don't think about long-term consequences. I know, because I went to Charlottesville. Right? So really be judicious about it. But if you are going to be an activist, if you are going to be a part of it, I think that's the way to go. If you are going to do it, I think the best way is through a student organization, because that gives you a little bit of cover. If you're with Young Republicans, College Republicans, Yale, Turning Point, you know, whatever you're, well, Turning Point, obviously not. But if you're with any of these groups, I think that's probably a good way, a good mode to do this activism. But I'm not saying it's for everybody. It's not for everybody. And be very judicious about your own situation. But that's a good question. Let's see. Chief Bulging says, true, false, the Spurg Right brigaded your YouTube channel. Well, I mean, my YouTube channel gets brigaded all the time. You know, it was brigaded last week. Artificial dislikes, artificial engagement from leftists and other people as well. You know, they were literally like streaming during my show on the Drunken Peasants and telling people to go brigade my live chat and my dislikes and so on. So it gets brigaded all the time. I don't know, because it was a deleted video from a long time ago, how could they have flagged it? You know, so that leads me to believe it's internal. It's within Google that they're out to get me. Because how else could they flag a video that is months old, was privated a long time ago, and had been deleted weeks ago? It doesn't make any sense. So, let's see, what else? CF says, I deleted my personal Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, etc. I'm undoxable. Well, you can never be too careful. Be very careful. If you don't want to get doxxed, you know, you really can't like say anything that would be incriminating online, like any personal details, anything in like a Discord server, anything in a Slack chat, anything in a group DM on Facebook, Twitter, anything like that, you really got to cover all your bases. You really got to be smart about it. People think that, like, if they don't post a face picture in their name, they won't get doxxed. But you've seen it happen where they post, like, a few key details that sync up or something. That's all it takes. You got to be really smart about it. Really think it through. Let's see. What else? Rootless. I just read that one earlier. Got to sift through all the diamonds. Okay, so it looks like I've exhausted the Imgur thread here, so I'll be back looking at them live. It looks like that might have been our last Digigeni, but I'll go through and I'll see if that's... I'll double check real quick. Yeah, it looks like that's everything. We're going to do a last call for Ninjagitis, and then we'll call it a night. I think tomorrow the system that we'll do is we'll have Streamlabs or potentially something else. But I will work on it tonight and tomorrow. The problem is, and I've explained this, but it's hard to articulate like verbally, but the way it works on DLive is it only shows so many so many alerts and notifications in my activity feed. Usually on YouTube, it shows all the super chats throughout the whole show from the beginning until the end. With DLive, it only shows like the most recent like 10 messages. It's like, it's only the most recent ones. So that kind of sucks. So we'll figure it out for tomorrow. I'll try and figure out how to get them to accumulate or either do Streamlabs or Stream Elements potentially or Entropy. I'll look into these options and then we'll figure that out. Whatever we use for tonight, we'll use that throughout this week, or rather, whatever we use on DLive, we'll use when we get back on YouTube next week. So if we end up using Entropy, we'll use that in place of Super Chats. If we do Streamlabs or Stream Elements, we'll do that in lieu of Super Chats. But I'll have it figured out for tomorrow. But it looks like that's all our Ninjaginis. So that's going to do it for us on the show tonight. People are asking for the chest. Yeah, I guess I'll dump the chest. I'll distribute the chest while I do my outro here. So that's going to do it for us on our first show on DLive. One last thing before I go. Tomorrow is the Democratic debate, so that means the show will start at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock Central Time tomorrow. Tomorrow's the Democratic primary debate for January. It's 2 hours. It starts at 8 o'clock Central, which is an hour later than I normally do my show. Really more like a half hour later. So we're going to start streaming tomorrow at 8 o'clock for the Democratic debate. We'll stream the debate, and then I'll give you my live, and I'll take a break, and then I'll come back for live analysis and reaction and all of that. That's for tomorrow. But that's going to do it for us on this show tonight. Remember to, what do I even say? There's no thumbs up. There's no notification bell, right? There's no comments. So just remember to follow me on DLive, follow this channel, click the follow button, not subscribe, click follow. Follow me on Telegram, t.me/NickJFuentes1. That's primarily how I communicate these things. Twitter's at NickJFuentes. And the email list. Email list is so critical. Sign up for my email list, NicholasJFuentes.com. Just type your email in, click send. Give me your email. Give me your email so that when I get banned from YouTube soon, I can email you instructions. Now, I've been saying this for weeks. I've been saying, could happen any day, could happen any day. Well, it finally happened. So be sure to do that because, you know, who knows even how much longer we have on here, right? So be sure to check that out, NicholasJFuentes.com. I'm going to have to fix my description here. On my YouTube channel, I have all my links in the description. Here, I just have a sentence that says, hello, I am an epic gamer. And I have no links. I have nothing else in like that about section of this channel. It just says that. So I'll have to fix that as well for tomorrow. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. This is America First. America First is unstoppable. Thank you for watching. Thank you for following me here. It means a lot to me. It's a good thing. It's a big show of force. It's a demonstration of power, of influence, that the America First Coalition is rising. Thanks to everybody that's donated tonight. Thanks to the Lemon people, the Lemon Party, Ice Cream people, Ninjaginis, Ninjets. Thanks to everybody that donated. Our top three donors tonight, our top three contributors were, let me click on them. We have General Pinochet, Daniel Plainview, And we have Penelope Maynard. So thanks to our top three contributors in particular. Thanks to everybody that donated. Thanks to everybody that watched tonight. We love you. And I will see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.